The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
It's going to be a very eclectic show today. We've got a lot of things. We actually have a couple of local issues. Got one from here in Green Bay, and we have one in Wausau that I want to spend a lot of time on. We actually have two. Some of you have heard me. Obviously, you folks listening on WTAQ in Green Bay heard the last segment where, yes, I was very impatient with the caller. The show doesn't start in Wausau and Sheboygan until right now. I was very impatient with the caller on the Walmart. A downtown Walmart, in my mind, is dead in Green Bay because the guy was making stuff up, and I don't sit there and let someone make their case when they're making stuff up. It would have created 300 jobs. The mayor of Green Bay has sent the message that he gets to decide which businesses are right for Green Bay. And he and every alderman who voted against it should be held accountable on Election Day. And I will work to make sure that they are. That will become one of my missions in life and missions on this show. Enough on that, at least for now. There's also a viral YouTube video that I think listeners, even outside the Green Bay area, are aware of. The Green Bay police officer forcefully arresting someone. It was announced officially yesterday. He's been cleared of any wrongdoing, but there's a yabut there. And we'll get to that yabut later in the show. A Wausau city official did something wrong, and he got a golden parachute for it. Screwing up can pay. Screw up big payoff. We'll get to that one. But before we get to any of that, here's a blast from the past. Well, not really. I mean, he's still out there in the public eye. He's still doing what he does. But it's still a blast from the past. Rick Santelli. Rick Santelli. How many people remember what Rick Santelli became most famous for? You could argue forcefully, as I do, that he started the Tea Party movement. It was his rant on CNBC, we need a new Tea Party, and it actually formed back in 2009. And it was a famous rant. CNBC is still there. Rick Santelli is still there. He got into another ranting debate with fellow CNBCers about whether or not the stock markets, which are now sky high, literally the Dow in previously unseen territory, over 17,000, is a bubble that's going to burst in a way that the previous economic bubble burst back in 2007, 2008, and cause a catastrophic situation with the American economy. Before we get to that, Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen defended keeping interest rates low before Congress yesterday, but opened the door a crack to earlier than planned rate hikes if the labor market continues its surprising improvement. Well, the labor market really isn't improving as much as you've been told, because as we told you this week, Mort Zuckerman had a piece in Wall Street Journal. There really weren't full-time jobs created. We lost 500,000 full-time jobs in June. We gained 800,000 part-time jobs. There is no sound economic underpinning that is causing the markets to soar. Easy money policy is causing the markets to soar. One of the reasons the markets are soaring, because it is so cheap to borrow money. Companies, and not a lot of people are aware of this, companies are borrowing money to buy back their own stock. Why wouldn't they? It's so cheap. This is seen as the force that's driving a Dow at 17,000, NASDAQ, wherever it's at these days, over 4,000. I don't remember now exactly where it's at. And further, the further danger here, as we have discussed, there's very little risk aversion in the market right now. Besides from companies borrowing money to plow back into their own stock, you've got people taking risks they wouldn't normally take because there is nothing else out there. The NASDAQ I was looking for, Jason. The Dow is up 53 right now at 17,114. S&P 500 is up 7 at 1980. Both of those are very, very high. As is the I don't remember what the NASDAQ is right now. But this is part of it. And the risk, there's just not a risk aversion. The NASDAQ's at 4441.98. It's up 25. And as long as the Fed continues to print money, this phony market's going to be propped up. But the argument is, at some point, the bubble has to burst. Inflation is going to step in. It just has to happen. Rick Santelli made this case Monday on CNBC. The rest of the panel disagreed with him. This went for 12 minutes. I'm going to play you about half of it. And listen, because he gets kind of shouted down. But Santelli makes the case companies are just borrowing cheap money to buy up their own stock, which is driving this, and it's all a mirage. CNBC apparently wants to continue the mirage, except for Rick Santelli. But this is a very interesting exchange, and it's about 6 minutes long, which we don't normally do. But this encapsulates, I think, the whole debate. Jason, let her rip.
I think we need to get back to a more steak and potatoes, mundane, less volatile form of central banking. We are not in a crisis. Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke still treating the economy as though it's in crisis. Equity traders don't seem to be too bugged because they know in the end, what's in the New Yorker that I've read, easy money will outlive any types of headwinds to the economy, and I think that's what stock traders are looking at.
But you're suggesting that the Fed, the longer the Fed waits to raise rates, the harder time the market is going to be able to digest that, and also the dangers of inflation coming into the picture down the road. Is that what you're putting forth?
I think you've just listed two unintended consequences. I think that the litany of unintended consequences is much larger, the list is much longer, and the ultimate questions about how it turns out are much more vague. In the end, this isn't what the Central Bank of the United States was created for 100 years ago. It was supposed to be a nudger. Now it's embedded in a political, social type of financial engineering, not the least of which you would never go to an accountant on a personal level that treated your money in this kind of group feel-good setting.
Steve, the drumbeat appears to be getting louder. At least people are talking about it more than they have in the past several months as to whether the Fed has truly gotten itself behind the curve and now how it rights the ship.
Yeah, you know, drumbeats can be loud as you want them to be, but whether or not there's any actual action on that drumbeat, I don't see it. I've been very careful to watch markets and see how there's some expression of this concern over inflation. It's very hard to find. It's just not out there. You asked the question, is the Federal Reserve behind the curve? It's well to remember that it's the Federal Reserve's policy to be behind the curve. Janet Yellen said it in the New Yorker Magazine article today. It's part of Fed policy statement, and the statement goes as follows, Scott, that interest rates will remain lower than normal when markets return to normal. So the question about whether or not that engenders higher inflation or not, what we do know is that there's been a certain wing of the economic profession that's been talking about the concern about inflation for many, many years, and it has not materialized, and that remains their driver for what they think the Federal Reserve should do, that they should end their QE policy earlier.
Well, it's not like some of the Fed's own members haven't suggested that. I mean, Clauser over the last several months has brought that up as well.
Steve, you're talking about feedback loops, okay? Hey, come on, Steve, be objective on this one. You don't think the feedback loops of a free market have been sufficiently pushed back that it's very hard? You say, well, I don't see any signs of it. Well, why would you? We're in a managed setting. We're in a managed setting. If a baseball league puts in their crummiest players, what's the feedback loop for the talent?
Rick, I think there are many ways that the market can express its concern over inflation. You can sell equities. Market has the ability to set an outlying Fed
funds. Why would anybody sell equities?
Because
we're giving company XYZ super low rates to buy back their shares and artificially make P.E. ratios look handsome when they're still a pig.
Anybody? Well, first of all, it strikes me that the P.E. ratios, as our traders here on the right have told us quite a bit, they're not particularly out of line. There are some bubble-like stocks that are
because
out there,
of
but
all
overall,
the stock buybacks.
What's that?
Overall, that's the driving force.
Right. So however you
and
get
the
there, Rick,
directly affected
earnings
that
per share
loop.
Is what anybody ever cares about. I mean, if you want me to trade on earnings and not per share, then
listen,
you know I've got
Steve,
a bridge to sell you, Rick.
When Trump vote didn't go, the stock market had a hissy fit. We've deprived the markets of hissy fits.
But now they're going, and they're going in a measured way.
That's it. It's going.
Rick,
Mr.
I think if you were objective,
we're just
going
to play the music.
If you were
objective, you want to hear a social policy from the head of the biggest central bank who controls $4.5 trillion of America's money.
I want the Fed to do what it's supposed to do, which is to bring about an economy
clinical.
With low unemployment and low inflation.
They're supposed to be clinical. They're bankers. They're not psychologists.
Rick, it's not clinical.
Well, you know what I want to do?
Let's
Rick sort of alluded to it. I mean, why wouldn't you buy stocks in this environment, Mike Murphy? That's clearly what people have been doing. You guys don't seem to be overly concerned about this question we enter at the top of the show, though it is getting louder in the market.
It is getting louder, but I think right now equities are the main game in town. I won't say the only game, but right now you wouldn't go out to Rick's point and sell equities. But my take on the Fed here is they're trying to keep the market inflated. Because think back to where we were, Rick, in 2008. This is still a reflection of where we were, the financial crisis. So I think they're going to err on the side of caution, which I'm fine with. And that's given us this nice long rally in the equities market, and I think it continues.
Do you think there was easy money in front of the crisis? Do you think that was one of the contributing factors? Yes or no?
In hindsight, it was, yes.
Well, why don't we get some hindsight early now?
Hey, Rick, this is one of the biggest non-sequitur discussions I think I've ever heard. Because if you think about 79 million baby boomers who are entering retirement, and you understand the fact that a quarter of them are going to make it to 93 years old, if we think that there is inflation coming down the pike, why would they want to buy bonds? They have three decades. They're guaranteed to lose money at face value in a 10-year treasury. They should be adding to stocks, not adding to bonds.
Those young demographics don't have money. They don't have jobs. They're living in their parents' basement, and less than half of Americans own stock portfolios. So who exactly are we helping here?
We have an unemployment rate that is now growing at a rate commensurate
with the late
90s. And you think
easy money is
going
to make them better educated to get a job? It's going to make it worse, and it isn't addressing the problem.
How does monetary policy, again, address the problem of millennials that don't have skills for the job marketplace?
If it can't, they should say so. Here's what a Fed chairman needs to stand up and do. Congress, we've done the most we can do. We've nudged the market. It's now your job. Now the feedback loops happen, and there's a big ruckus in November. Problem solved.
I will tell you that Rick Santelli is absolutely right. When I say this, I hear from the occasional stockbroker, no, the market's not overvalued. I want to address this in a little greater detail in 5 minutes. It's 9:20.
The Jerry Bader Show.